To Korea now. The leaders of North and South Korea, Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in, will plant a ceremonial tree and inspect an honor guard together after Kim walks across the border into South Korea tomorrow. It'll be the first time a North Korean leader has been in the South since the fighting in the Korean War stopped in 1953. The summit will also set the stage for a meeting later this year between Kim and President Trump. Joining us now is NPR's Anthony Kuhn, who's in Seoul for tomorrow's meeting. Anthony, thanks for coming in.
You bet, Eric.
Tomorrow's meeting has a lot of symbolism, maybe even powerful symbolism, but there's got to be more to it, yeah? Well, what are the stakes here?
The stakes are very high. This is the third meeting ever between the leaders of the two Koreas. 2000 and 2007 were the first two. This time, what's really different, of course, is that North Korea has a much more credible nuclear arsenal, and the threat of war is clearly greater. On the other hand, the main issues of peace treaty and denuclearization cannot be totally resolved without U.S. participation and probably eventually Chinese participation. But I think there is some suspense here, and that is that nobody really knows what Kim Jong-un's intentions are, what the upshot of this whole summit is going to be. And experts' predictions, from what I'm hearing right here, are all over the map. Some people who are optimistic see this as, you know, the end of North Korea's days as a rogue regime, that it's changing its ways, that the summit could, you know, change the shape of Northeast Asia. Pessimists think it's basically just another con game, another chance for the Kim Jong-un regime to buy more time, to hang on for longer and make some more nukes.
Is there any pressure on President Moon to come away from this meeting with something concrete, not just optics and symbolism, when it comes to Kim's nuclear program?
Absolutely. Moon Jae-in has been advocating engagement with North Korea all along. What's more, he says that North Korea is willing to go ahead with complete nuclear disarmament, not just freezing, but complete nuclear disarmament. Some people really do not disagree with him. And if it turns out that if he's wrong, he's really going to be hung out to dry. It's going to look terrible. At the same time, there are other issues here. Denuclearization is, you know, clearly key. But also, inter-Korean relations are important because you've got these two huge armies lined up along the demilitarized zone. You've got families that have been broken up for more than half a century. So what happens between the two Koreas about mending their fences is important for a lot of people's lives.
Anthony, there'll be a meeting and a banquet, as I understand it. It seems pretty choreographed. Is there any chance at all there'll be a press conference between these two, or something more than just a joint statement? What's going to happen here?
I don't think there's going to be a press conference. There should be some sort of declaration in which they lay out the progress they made that should come towards the end of the day of talks. And if things go well, they'll put forth what they call a Panmunjom declaration. And Panmunjom is the name of the truce village along the demilitarized zone where the armistice was signed in 1953. If things do not go well in the talks, then there'll be some sort of low-key announcement in the meeting. But some parts of this have been sort of nailed down in advance, particularly the inter-Korean stuff. But the real meat, the real crucial stuff about denuclearization, they have not been able to reach an agreement on in advance. So it'll all come down to these two men, Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in, to decide at the summit.
Do we know anything about what the people of North Korea will see or hear about this meeting?
Well, they sure know it's happening, and Kim Jong-un has already declared victory in the country's quest to become a nuclear power. And they were also told recently that now that they have this nuclear deterrent, the country can shift its focus to developing its economy and raising people's living standards, and you can bet that's welcome. So expectations in the North Korean public have surely been raised.
Anthony, you're based in China. And China is North Korea's closest ally. Talk about Beijing's perspective on this meeting between Kim and Moon and what's at stake for them.
Well, publicly, of course, they're very happy this is happening because they've been calling for negotiations all along, particularly between Pyongyang and Washington, but also with Pyongyang and Seoul. Officially, Beijing believes that the only way to resolve this is for North Korea to follow China's example, and that means begin market-oriented reforms and open to the outside world, to outside investment. Privately, they're a bit nervous about being left out of all this summitry and that the U.S. and North Korea could eventually cut a deal which puts them at some sort of disadvantage. So Beijing has, as a result, been stepping up its diplomatic game. They invited Kim Jong-un for his first ever visit to the country last month, and they've been letting it be known that China must be at the table for any major deal that reshapes the region, and that China's national interests have got to be respected.
Anthony Kuhn is NPR's Beijing correspondent. He's speaking with us from Seoul. Anthony, thank you.
You're welcome, Eric.